For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Just begin to speak to God tonight and say, Lord, speak to me. Tell him, Lord, I'm open. My heart is open. Talk to me, Lord. Just pray that prayer. God will help us. God will speak to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us. Let our hearts be open. Let there be no familiarity towards your word. Let, oh God, there be no resistance to your word. Jesus, speak to us. Speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. As we hear your word this evening, let there be a great impartation. Speak to us. Correct the things that need to be corrected. Change the things that need to be changed. Train us in the things that we need to be trained in through your word. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Oh, welcome to our midweek service. Amen. So it's Father's Day on Sunday. So the atmosphere is Father's. So I want to talk to you tonight about four types of sons. Four types of sons. When we say sons, okay, daughters should not exclude themselves. When the Bible says sons, I haven't done a Bible study on it, but I'm sure sons are often mentioned probably more than daughters, isn't it? But when God is talking, or the scriptures are being read, or you're reading the scriptures, and you see the word son, it also means daughter. How will God talk to only men or boys? He's speaking to all of us. And the Bible says, created he both male and female. So the gender son or the gender male per se does not only imply that it has to be a man or male agenda, male gender. No. So God is speaking to us. So when we say four types of sons, we mean four types of children, four types of daughters, four types of people in this world. That does not mean that there are only four types. I'm just, tonight we're just talking about four types. We'll mention them quickly. Amen. Now, when you say a son or a daughter, and you see a father, it by itself denotes a certain relationship. I mean, you cannot walk out on then any person you say is your father, or anybody you see there you say is your son. So it doesn't exist in isolation. A father is defined by sons and daughters, isn't it? And sons and daughters are also defined by a father. In other words, when you say you're a son, then it means there's a father and a mother somewhere, isn't it? The son of who? And if you say you're a father, father of what? Do you see? So those two words, father, son, father, daughter, mean something. And that is why it can also not just be used loosely. Do you see? Yeah, when we say we are children of somebody, we must have something to show that we are their children. Yeah. I'm a son of Bishop Dark. Yes. Yes. By default, whether I like it or not. And whether you like it or not. Do you see? And I can tell. Sometimes the way I do things, I can tell. And if you what you can tell where I'm coming from and the things I do. So a son is defined, a daughter is defined, and a father is also defined. So when we say types of sons and daughters, we are also talking about a certain depiction of a relationship. Are you understanding the message? I'm just trying to introduce it. We're also talking about a certain depiction of a relationship that makes you of a certain type. So, in other words, a child's response, a son's response, a daughter's response to a father or a mother reveals the type of son or daughter they are. See, are you getting it? And that's what we are trying to talk about tonight. So the first one quickly is, type one, is prodigal son. It's not a good one. A prodigal son is not a good one. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, 11. We'll be reading a lot of scriptures quickly. 11 to 24. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Everybody say two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted his substance with riotous living. All right. So this basically describes the prodigal son, the younger of them. Give me my portion. And not many days after, gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. So what are the characteristics of a prodigal son? Number one, a prodigal son goes away from his father and his father's house. It's a type of son. A son who goes away, moves away, removes himself from his father's house. That is a prodigal son. Yeah. You are a prodigal son or daughter if you have removed yourself from your father's, and when I say father here, I'm talking specifically about your biological father, biological mother. You have removed yourself far. You have nothing to do with them. Let me see. It's a sign, it's a type of a child, prodigal, far away. You don't want to have to do with anything to do with the father. All right? And number two, a prodigal son wants to be as far away. So not only are you removing yourself. I mean, it's one thing to move yourself and still be hanging around the area. But when you get to the point where now you've removed yourself so far, I'm going like this guy did. Yeah, maybe to another state or another zone. You're just zoning yourself out so that, you know, nobody can say anything to you or even look at your face. It's prodigality. Forgive. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know you are not a prodigal child. Say, far be it from you. Yeah. Prodigal sons and daughters also waste opportunities. Now, let me say that this is something that we can easily be guilty of. You see, we can easily be guilty of this kind of a trait. We have opportunities, but we waste them. Wow. We have spiritual opportunities, but we waste them. I believe that that is one of the things that in this church we are blessed with. There's so much opportunity. So much opportunity to build ourselves up, to do more ministry, to work for the Lord. But we can waste it all. Yeah. We're always doing something. Calling for evangelism, calling for cell groups, calling for follow-up, calling for visitation. We put up names. Hey, who can visit? Sometimes you watch it and you see that people are, nobody's responding. They are all opportunities. So it's a trait of prodigality. Many times when I'm talking to the younger, you know, brethren in the Extreme Bible Service that I'm so privileged to be pastoring now, they're keeping me young and making me active and alive, you know. And one of the things that I keep telling them is that there's nothing mysterious about the Bible and about Christianity. Let's stop making it complex. Let's demystify it. There's nothing complex about it. You see, when you read the scriptures or you read the word of God and God is instructing and God is saying, do this and do that, don't do this, don't do this. That's all there is. You don't do it and you stop doing it. Or if he says do it, you do it. Do you see? So the essence of even a simple teaching like this is that as I mentioned the trait of prodigality, when you say, I'm seeing this thing in my life. Yeah. Eh? I have a tendency to be far. I have a tendency to waste opportunity. All you have to do is correct it. Amen. The moment you correct it, and just correct it by saying to yourself that from now on, I am not going to be this way. Amen. That's all. That's all. There's nothing. You just follow. Yeah. Follow what God is saying. And your life will change. Amen. Amen. So a prodigal son wastes his life's opportunities. Don't waste opportunities. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't waste opportunities. Yeah. Every opportunity that you are given, make use of it. Yeah. Make use of it. And I believe that your life will be blessed. Amen. I have not done this for a long time. You know, I'm pastoring a church. But the little time that I've done it, I've come across people who get very frustrated. And sometimes you can sense frustration even at a pastor. It's as though I'm God. Yeah. But all I'm doing is I'm just reading Bible to you. I'm reading books to you. I'm just teaching from one of Bishop's books now. That's what I'm doing. I'm just teaching. I'm just sharing. When I finish everything I say to you, I must also make sure that I also, you know, follow them. I bring my body under subjection to do them. So your life as is now, I'm trying to say something here. Your life as is now, okay, is a combination and a result, a product of decisions that you made. Huh? Which also includes opportunities that you wasted. Do you see? So if now you've come to a point where you realize that, these things are not working well, and you've made a U-turn, which is in any case also one of the signs of prodigality, okay? The next one says, a prodigal son recognizes his mistakes in the midst of his life and returns to his father. And you've made that U-turn and you've returned to the Father, even the Heavenly Father. Be patient. Do you understand? Don't blame people and don't feel like God is so far away. God won't hear you and God is wicked. And no. I mean, you wasted 10, 20 years doing something. And all of a sudden, you want that thing to be corrected in 2 months or 1 year. No. It's the opportunities that you have wasted. So a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter, recognizes his mistakes in the midst of his life and returns to his father.
A prodigal son also suffers the loss of many things because of his foolishness and his rebellious ways. We shall not be prodigal. I said we shall not be prodigal. Amen. Type number two. Elder son. Elder son. Are we on verse 14? Go to verse 14 and let's see. 15. Which verse is now? His elder son was in the field. It's way down. Quickly find it for me. No. No. Somebody help me here. It should be down. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music. 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 Do you see how the King James spells it? Music. There's a K after the C. Must be very wild music. So he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked them what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. Look, if it's you, also be angry. Huh? Will you not be angry? How many people think you'll be angry? What? You can even pack out. He doesn't like parties. Okay. So how many, let's see by hands again, fire up. How many of you think that you'll be angry? Me, I think I'll be very angry. Pastor Morris, you won't be angry. All right. So, please keep your hand up. I mean, if you are not sure and you don't agree, just, it's not a test. It's not a trick. You can keep your hand. But how many of you think that you'll be angry? So, Lady Pastor, you also, you'll be very angry. All right. So, it means that all of us, excluding the one or two people who didn't raise their hand. Let me see. So we are likely to be the serious elder sons. We are spiritual melancholics. Now let's read on. And he answered to his father, lo, this many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never givest me a kid, eh? Not even a small goat, to make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, he didn't even call him brother, this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted cow. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. Let me take a little quick side journey and we'll come back to what we're doing. You see, when you are with a father, okay, you will notice that a lot of times the concentration is not what you do right. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. It is not so much what you do right. So you realize that you would not most likely be getting a lot of praises. Yeah. This thing that I'm sharing with you, when we go for Titus in Crete, it's always one of the themes. It's always told that we are not here to praise you for the many good things you've done. We are here to try and correct. And sometimes that is mostly how fathers express. themselves. So the expectation is that when you are really a son, especially an elder son, and you are in the house, you are not prodigal, you don't move far, you don't remove yourself far away, you don't waste opportunities, you are around. You are a proper son or a daughter or a child in the house of God. You realize that a lot of times you are not going to be praised. Thank you. You see, wow. I don't go to my career and say, wow, you sang, your song was very powerful. No. You see, but if she does something that I don't like, I will jump on it. Yeah. Many of you know that I grounded her. She almost cried. She was sitting here one day. I said, I was bored. I said, you won't sing again. Lady Pastor was begging for her. Not too long ago. I said, you won't sing again. I'm bored. I told her, do something. You didn't. The singing is finished. No, your dance. Your dance is rewarded because you appear. You are the only one who appears on flyers and posters. So the focus more is on what you are not doing right, because that's what needs to be talked about. You see. So as we grow up and we are more of proper sons and daughters in the house, let's expect that. I mean, nobody calls me to praise me and say, oh, Pastor Gilly or Reverend Gilly, they call me, you're doing so well, this, it's like, this is working well. No, no. But when something goes wrong, I get a call. Do you see? I will get a call. So we should also see that the relationship that affords even opportunity for us to be spoken to when something seems not to be working well, it's also a blessing. And sometimes even proof of the fact that you are a son and you are a daughter. Are you understanding? So an elder son, what does he do? Elder son stays at home with the father. Lawyer. They're always around. Isn't it? Yeah. I love Pastor Kobe. He's an elder son. When you are even sacking him, he doesn't want to go. Always wants to come around. He and his wife. I'm just using them as an example. Yeah. If I told him right now, stop where you are and come, he'd be so happy. If I was even yearning for it, I'd say, no, it won't happen. Stay where you are. Do you get it? Yes. An elder son never commits any major sins. You are clean. You are so clean. In fact, that is even how you describe yourself when you are talking to a father. I mean, I've been here all this time. You never kill a kid for me to have a party. Because you are never wrong. I mean, you're always doing the right thing. And an elder son never strays off the straight and narrow path set for him by his parents. Always follow instructions straight. This is what we are doing. This is what we are achieving. Are you here or you've gone home? An elder son can develop, or let's look at it. An elder son does not live a life of pleasure and waste. Doesn't waste things. Frugal. Takes every opportunity. They say do this, they do it. They say do that, they do it. No waste of opportunities. An elder son can develop a self-righteous and judgmental attitude towards people who stray away. Since he has never committed any of these sins himself, he simply cannot understand why people should indulge in such foolishness. Do you see? Me, I like to be very straight. I'm very straight. I like straight things. I don't like left, right. Yeah, as you see me, that's how I am. If I'm happy, you see it on me. If you don't, I'm not happy, you see it on me. You see. So, the years passed. Many times, Lady Pastor has corrected me and said, look, you don't know why this person is behaving this way. You see. You don't even know the circumstances and the background, their homes. You don't even know how, even where they came from. You don't even know whether when they were growing up, there was mommy and daddy in the house sleeping in the same bedroom. You don't know. You understand? And that is the fault of that trait, that type of a son, that sometimes if you're not careful, you can easily not make room for people. And you can be very judgmental. See, but I've grown out of it by God's grace. You see? Yeah, because I'm also developing now a more of a father's heart towards people. Yeah. You must not be judgmental. Because the truth is that if you think about it, If you're not thinking about it, think about it now. You may even do worse things if you were placed in that same situation. Do you get it? You could easily do worse things. You could easily do worse things. Yeah, easily. Easily. One day, Kenneth Hagin was somewhere, and he was at a meeting where there were other pastors, the host pastor and other senior pastors around. And they just casually mentioned an error that somebody had made in the church, one of the elders or something. And they talked about it roughly, you know, this person has done this so bad, and this is what we are going to do, something like that. And Kenneth Hagin said was, I concur. I mean, I agree. Yes. So, service was over. He went home. In the middle of the night. He said, in the pitch darkness, light just suddenly came from the roof. A bright light lit the whole room up. And there was a voice that, who are you to question my servant? Wow. You see? So we must be very careful how judgmental we are. Yes. We must be very careful how judgmental we are. And those of us who think that we're doing right, we may even be worse than the people we are trying to judge, given the same circumstances, given the same lack of opportunities that day. And you guess what? They probably would do better than we are doing if they had what we had. Yeah. Yeah. Some of us, we've been blessed to have parents who encourage us to go to Sunday school. Right from when you were a child, you used to go to Sunday school. You didn't even understand it, but on Sunday mornings, they would dress you up. My mom would dress us up and we'll walk to the Sunday school. I don't see them coming, but we'll go. Yeah. Yeah, then when we finish, we walk back home. It is a blessing. But the person that you are looking down on, they never had that. They never had that. It's a blessing. Some of us have been fortunate to have mothers and I think this generation is even more blessed. Because now parents, mothers, and especially mothers are teaching sons and daughters how to have quiet time at an early age. I mean, I didn't know what quiet time was. No. So that is the elder son. Number three, beloved son. That's a good one, isn't it? Beloved son. So there were two occasions that the Heavenly Father called Jesus a beloved son. Do you remember those two? When he was baptized, isn't it? In Matthew 3:13-17. A voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then also on the Mount of Transfiguration, isn't it? And also right there, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So the beloved son is ideal son. Someone say ideal son. Ideal son. Yes. Is the ideal son. Who is a beloved son? A beloved son is someone who submits to authority. Yes. Jesus was called a beloved son at the very beginning of his ministry, when he accepted the humble conditions of his call. So it is somebody who is fully submitted to authority. Then you become a beloved son. Ask your neighbor that, are you a beloved daughter or son? Number two, a beloved son is a humble son. Humility. Isn't it? Humility. It takes humility to be a humble son. Because especially as you are growing, you see that you, and that is usually the issue with the younger ones. As you are growing, as you are getting older, you feel like, Charlie, I'm also arriving at the point where now I can also make my own choices. You see? Which is true. You can make your own choices. So it takes you to be humble, to be able to say to someone that you call a father, that look, this is how I feel, this is what I want, but despite what I want, how I feel, I will do it your way. Amen. That is what makes you a beloved son. And it's humility. It is humility. Wow. Yeah? In ministry, many times I felt like, this is what I want to do, this is how I want to go, this is what I rather would like to do. But I'm told, this is how you should do it. Wow. Yes. That is why Jesus described the state of even, you know, as you grow. He said, when you're a child, you just do what you want. But as you rather become mature, what happens is that somebody will rather bind you and lead you. When you wake up, you go here. That is really maturity. And that is what makes you a son. Amen. Number three, a beloved son is someone who is obedient to all instructions. All instructions. It doesn't matter how much it will cost you. Yeah. Jesus was obedient, even obedient unto death. Even death on the cross. Yeah. We haven't had even the instructions to die. Huh? Who here has had an instruction to die? Pastor Kobe, have you had an instruction to die? No. No. Simple instructions. Do this. Follow this person up. Call this person. Have this cell meeting. Do that. That's all. Never to die. Never to die. I have never been told, go and die. Go and die for this soul. Go and die for that soul. I've never, ever been asked to die for. Brother Frankie, have you been asked to die for someone? No. No. So it is obedience. Obedience. Obeying the last to the very end of instructions. That's what makes you beloved. I see you becoming a beloved. And number four, the last type of a son. This one you don't like it. Turn to your neighbor and say, this one I don't like it. Stubborn and rebellious is the worst of it all. Stubborn and rebellious sons are resistant to instructions. They resist it. They oppose instructions. They dislike the person of the fathers. You don't like your father. Stubborn and rebellious sons dislike the methods. Not only do you not like him as a person, but you also don't like his methods. That's why you can look at somebody and say, you remind me of my father. Yes. Because you don't like his methods. You don't like his ways. There's a very interesting scripture here about stubborn, rebellious sons. And you won't like it when you read it. Under the old covenant, what they were supposed to do with stubborn, rebellious sand. Do you want to read it? Yeah. Let's read it quickly and then we'll close. Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21. Deuteronomy 21. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which would not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. You understand? They spank him, they punished him, he still will not listen. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. I mean, it's sad if your father can describe you as stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Now watch what happens. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Yeah, so those days were even supposed to be stoned. Yeah. A lot of young people will not have survived those days. Because we'll just take you out and finish you. It's not going to work here in America. But that shows you, and this were instructions. Deuteronomy, we're talking about instructions from God. This is how God wanted it done. Wow. Yes, that if his son is stubborn and rebellious, just finish him. And the reason for finishing him is that, look at, so thou shalt put evil away from among you. It's so evil, you put him away from among you to not to contaminate you. Yes. So listen, let's reflect on these things and let us be proper sons and daughters in the house. Not just by title, but really indeed. Yeah, let's all become beloved sons and daughters. If you find out that, look, you are maybe a prodigal or even rebellious and stubborn, change. Yeah. And this includes people who are listening and they are not in church. You are supposed to be here, but you're not here. Just also listen and change. And God will help you. Amen. I want to hear a good amen. Amen. And those at home also listening, say amen. Amen. All right. So God bless you all. Let's stand to our feet as we close. Just for a minute, just put your hand on your heart and pray for your heart. Just pray for your heart that even as we approach Father's Day this Sunday, in fact, Father's Day should be every day, but we particularly take a Sunday aside just to celebrate. Just pray that God will help you, that your heart will be right towards Him and towards the fathers, towards the many fathers, a chain of fathers that He has placed in your life. Just pray. Pray. Ask Him for help, that if there be anything that is not right, He will help you to correct it. We thank You, Lord. We bless You. In Jesus' name. Father, thank You for fathers. Thank You for the great opportunity even to have fathers, fathers in ministry. Thank You so much, particularly for our father, Bishop Dr. Hayward Mills. Thank You for the opportunities that You've brought into our lives, even by us being His children. I pray for everyone here. Help us. Let our hearts be right towards our spiritual fathers. Let our hearts be right towards every other father that You have given to us. Let's recognize them. Let us be beloved sons and daughters. Your word tells us that we may have 10,000 instructors, but we don't have many fathers. We have few. May we cherish the few fathers that we have. We thank You. We bless You in Jesus' name. And all shall say amen.